The Lord spoke to me this morning in light of some of the things that we discussed last night, you know, on a personal level with some of you. And some of you shared with me, you know, you sense within yourself that, you know, it's like you have this heaviness within you. It's almost like a deadness at times. And I've said to you that we're busy with a transition. God is transitioning us. We're transitioning as a church worldwide, we're transitioning. But as individuals, we're also transitioning. And God is lining us up like frontline soldiers. He's lining us up. Now, particularly our ministry, there's a strong call in our ministry because of what God's called me to do. There's a strong calling for prayer and intercession. But now we're not just talking normal prayer and intercession. Those of you that have related to Annika and I for any significant time will understand, and you've seen from the prayer school that, you know, we don't just teach, you know, three steps to successful prayer. Prayer is a lifestyle. And Jesus, the word says that Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Now, how is he interceding? You see, he's carrying us within his own heart. And we join up with that ministry of intercession. We join up with it. And we become that intercession in the earth. We travail within ourselves. And so, because of who we called as in the body of Christ, we spearhead as a ministry. And so, because of who God has called me to be, I spearhead in the ministry. I'm a catalyst for many things to happen. And we've seen that over the years. We minister into somebody's life and then God just like rocket launches them forward. And so, whether it's financially or spiritually or with your fivefold calling, whatever it is, that is how God uses us. And so that anointing will come upon you. And so with us and being with us, you'll find out that prayer takes on a different dimension here. It's what you become. And we're talking about third day anointing and those kind of things. We're walking in the Holy of Holies. Your prayer, you're carrying the heart of the Father. And if you're not there yet, then this is the travail that you are sensing within yourself. That's that heaviness. That's this thing that it's like you're giving birth. A woman carries a baby inside her womb for 9 months. In the beginning, it's all exciting and so forth. And then it starts progressing. And eventually, you know, dad rubbed me over here, you know, and she's waddling around and it's, you know, it's just not nice. And she has funny cravings and so forth until the time that the baby's got to come. And when the baby pops out, I mean, everything is over quickly. But it's a 9-month period that she's had to walk. Now, we don't know how long this period is that we're walking with God. I started ministering already in 2000, 2001, I think we spoke about last night. A new era has dawned in the church. I was ministering that already then. I said then already that God is shaking everything that can be shaken so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. I already said then that that which is of wood, hay and stubble is going to be burnt out of your life. You see, we have the choice. We can wait until the day of Christ when we stand before Him and then the fire comes and then tests you and then burns out the wood, hay, and the stubble, and then we see if there's anything left of you. And then we see what kind of a reward you get. Because it's about reward, remember. There are different positions in heaven when we get there in the kingdom of God. There are different positions. And so the choice is up to us to allow the Lord to burn out the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And this is what this is. And we discussed last night out of the book of Joshua where we're transitioning, we're moving across the Jordan and we're moving into an area where the city of Gilgal is. And Gilgal means circles or place of cutting. And that is circumcision. It doesn't matter whether it's this transition or whether there's going to be in the future. Whenever you transition, there's going to be a cutting away of the flesh. It always works like that. And that's what's happening. But we believe we are moving into this final great move of God that's going to touch the entire world. The scripture says that the glory of God will fill the earth. Have we seen that yet? No. How is the glory of God going to fill the earth? Is it going to be a cloud out of heaven? No. It's going to be through his people. And so the glory's got to be manifested in you. And this is what it is. That's the travail. And Skalk was saying, you know, I'll fast and pray and stuff. The pray part, yes. But you cannot fast a transition through. Because if the transition takes 10 years, you're going to be mighty thin when you get on the other side. You see? And this is what I want to speak to you about tonight. Basically, in brief, in the prayer school, we'll get to this in complete, full detail. Praying in tongues is God's way of allowing us to birth this thing within us. You see, if you're going to fast, it just makes you more sensitive for the Spirit to hear the voice of God. You're just putting your flesh under. That's all. But the work is done by the Spirit of God. And we've got to get to a position where we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. And so this is what we're going to do after I've shared this with you. We're going to do that for a little while. And apostolically, I'm going to trust God as we corporately pray together for something to break loose in your spirit, to launch you a little bit quicker forward. So I'm talking about praying in tongues. Very simple thing. But I want faith to arise in your heart about that. So that when you pray in tongues, because most of us just pray in tongues, wada, 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 and there we go. But you need to pray with purpose. You need to pray into that sense that you have in your spirit. You need to pray into that. I remember there was a time and God was transitioning me. It's probably about 20 years ago, 25 years ago probably. For 2 years, I had this thing in my spirit. At times I felt like I could climb out of the walls because I couldn't hear God. It felt to me as if I couldn't hear God, until I connected with some ministers of the gospel where they said the same thing, that there were times that they had to pray things through, they had to spend time with God, they had to push it through, and not everybody's prepared to pay that price. It takes something. Some people just give up and they never tap into the fullness of that which God has for them. The other reason why people give up is because they don't understand the ways of the Spirit. You must understand, there's this mighty God that can span the entire universe with the span of His hand. He steps over the entire universe just with one footstep. That scripture says that He measured the dust of the earth in the palm of His hand. Another scripture says He measured the waters of the ocean in His hand. Now, how big is a God like that, people? Right. Now, that God lives within your spirit. And now He wants to express Himself. What do you think it's going to be like? That this mighty God comes and expresses Himself through a tiny little vessel of, you know, through 16 buckets of water and one bucket of dust. You understand? You understand what Jesus did for you. He carried all of us in His spirit, past, present, and future. If we're talking about joining up with the intercession of Jesus, it's quite awesome. He carries us in His spirit. He carried us on the cross. You see, we get to a place, and God has graced me like that. I can, you know, I remember I could sense one person, and God says, stop interceding for that person. But I'm in a place in my life where I'm aware of more than one person in my spirit. And I can carry them in my spirit in travail and intercession. But imagine, Christ carries all of us, and He can point you out by name. Even the ones that are not yet saved. He carries them within Himself. And that's the intercession we're joining up. It's not just the 15 minutes or half an hour before church. And I've said that many times. And please, I don't belittle those kind of things. But Christ's life was a life of intercession. He identified with mankind. On the cross, He identified with the sin of mankind, etc., etc. There's more to our prayers. And that's what I've tried to cultivate. And that's what I've tried to teach through our intercession or our school of prayer. So, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11. And these things you know already. I'm just going to run through them quickly. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11. Remember in verse 10 he says, he talks about the working of, miracles, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And he talks about tongues at the end of verse 10. And then it says, all these abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually as He chooses. Now, you're all baptized in the Holy Ghost, yeah? And you can all speak in tongues. All right. You're a chosen one. It's the Spirit. But we cooperate with the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't speak in tongues for you. You do the speaking. You do the praying. If you go to work in the morning, you do the going to work. See, we've spiritualized a whole lot of stuff. But He works through you. You and I are Christ in the earth, and you and I have to do the thing. Jesus went onto the mountain and prayed at night. He didn't just, well, Holy Spirit, no, you're going to do the thing. No, He spent time with His Father and He prayed prayers. He opened His mouth and He prayed prayers. So you and I are going to do the same. Don't think you're going to be more super spiritual or better than what He was. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 11. And as I've said, you already know these verses. But if I do not know the force and significance of the speech or the language, I shall seem to be a foreigner to the one who speaks to me. And the speaker who addresses me will seem a foreigner to me. Verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. It's a hotline to heaven. And that's why it's been attacked so much. You don't speak to men, you speak to God. It's the Spirit of God. Who is He? He is God, isn't He? Right. So you yield to Him, and so you speak in your heavenly language. So who's speaking to who? It's God speaking to God. Do you think that prayer is pretty perfect? Right. So if you've got travail in your heart, do you think He's talking to the Father about that? You think you're hooking up with Jesus with His ministry of intercession at the right hand of the Father? All right. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit He utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. That's the beauty of it. And as the Spirit leads you and as the Spirit wills, He will give you an interpretation of that if it's necessary. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. That's why we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. So that by the Spirit, the Word comes from my spirit to my understanding. You see, 98% of your prayer in tongues is to get you to a place where you can hear accurately. See, what we've tended to do, okay, I'm going to pray for Kara now, and they are go off in tongues. You see? But what we need to do is trust God for a word, to speak word. So when I pray in tongues, you'll hear me many times. I'm speaking in tongues and then I start praying the word. And I speak more in tongues, I pray more the word. And I speak in tongues and I pray the word. It's like a prophecy. I'm prophesying. And that's what you need to do. And if you're praying, if I'm praying on my own, I go to God and I say, Lord, your word says if I pray in my heavenly language, I'm built up. Built up to what? Built up to the stature of Christ. The standard of Christ is raised within me. The word says that rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. And I believe we'll touch on that scripture still. What does water do? Brings life. Who is life? Christ. So who's going to first benefit? You. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider or he who is not gifted with interpretation of tongues say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? I mean, if we sit down to a meal, we can just pray in tongues because we're all in the same thing. But if there's somebody, we're all in the spirit. But if somebody comes and they're an outsider and they don't know what's going on, then we can pray in tongues and then we say, okay, the Lord is saying this. Amen? To be sure, you may give thanks well, but the bystander is not edified. It does him no good. I thank God that I speak in strange languages more than any of you all, or all of you put together. That's what we need to do. Why do you think Paul's clothing and stuff was so anointed? He would be making tents and Kurabasana, there he goes. Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say 5 words of my understanding and intelligently in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange language. Some people use that scripture and say, now, well, that's why I shouldn't pray in tongues. See, he's not saying don't pray in tongues, but he's saying in the fellowship. So we pray in tongues and then we interpret. We pray in tongues, we speak the word of God as it's unctioned by the Spirit. What's the definition of tongues? Tongues are a divine and supernatural method of communication with God. Simple. And tongues, they were instituted by God. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They spoke in tongues when the Spirit came on them. It is done by faith, and when we do it, we are exercising our faith. Because in Jude verse 20, it says, build yourselves up on your most holy what? Faith. But what faith? Faith in the Word of God. We're doing it because we believe the Word of God. And when we believe that the Word of God that is implanted within our spirit, which is engrafted within us, that will start coming forth. And it will speak pertinent things to the situation. Tongues were prophesied in Isaiah 28 verse 11 to 12. Let's go check that out quickly. Isaiah 28 verse 11. No, but the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way. By men with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. See, it's a prophecy about tongues. And to these he said, this is the true rest. You see? You pray in tongues, rest comes in your spirit. You pray in tongues until rest comes. And that time that I prayed for 2 years, I prayed for 2 years until rest came. It became such a thing that wherever I went, because I was still on the road then, I was selling jewelry. Man, I was praying 24/7 just about. If I was in the car, I prayed. When I sat at the clients, I would pray under my breath because I had to pray this thing through. And God birthed something in me and through me. And I believe it was a foundation for the future ministry. This is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness that you shall give to the weary. And this is the true refreshing. It is referring to the future still. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. We know what it says there. It talks about the outpouring of the Spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men shall dream dreams. Joel 2, 28 and 29. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and upon the maid servants in those days will I pour out my spirit. Spirit's been poured out on you. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Okay, I'm pretty speedy with this. We're recording it for you, sir. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And while being in their company and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Listen to that. He commanded them. But to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. He commanded. It was a command for them to wait on the outpouring of the Spirit. And so we read in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, the very bounds of the earth. Mark chapter 16. But you see, he instructed them that they had to wait for it. They had to go and wait for the outpouring of the Spirit. It was a command from Jesus. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
What do you believe? In Jesus and His Word. Amen? In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will. You will speak in tongues. Okay? Pretty much no option there. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptized you in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3 verse 11. Matthew 3 verse 11. I indeed baptize you in water because of repentance. This is John speaking. That is because of your changing minds for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. But he who is coming after me, who's that? Jesus. He is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do you think it is important to Jesus that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire? Yes. Did he know that you were going to speak in tongues? Yes. Is that important to him? Yes. Jesus himself came and did it for you. When it happened to me, I felt him. He put his hand on my head like that. Boom. And it was like hot honey oil or something that went through me and knocked my breath out completely when it happened. I was drunk for 3 months. I've never seen anybody drunk like that and never seen anybody laugh. But he put his hand on my head. I felt this hand. And I mean, there was nobody there. Jesus baptized me in the Holy Ghost. So it must be important for him. Mark chapter 1 verse 8. So if Jesus comes and baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, then I think we need to do something with it. Mark 1 verse 8. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's a short reference from John. Tongues is praying under the unction of the Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going through this quickly because you've heard it all before, and I just want to stir up some faith in your heart. 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 13. Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue shall pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider or he who is not gifted with interpretation of unknown tongues say amen to your thanksgiving? Okay, we've already discussed that. What are the benefits? And as I said, we're going to go into much more detail. This is just a quick summary. What are the benefits of praying in tongues? Praying in tongues magnifies God. So every time you open your mouth and pray in tongues, what are you doing? You're magnifying God. You don't have to jump through hoops and do backflips and do all sorts of stuff. Pray in tongues, you magnify God. Acts chapter 10, verse 44-46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. On all. Notice that. Don't let people tell you, well, you know, some of us, you know, the Holy Spirit only falls on some of us and only some of us, you know, get it. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were surprised and amazed because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely even on the Gentiles. Verse 46, for they heard them talking in tongues and extolling and magnifying God. How's that? How awesome is that? When we pray in tongues, we bless God. Again, 1 Corinthians 14. So we magnify God and we bless God. Who wants to bless God? Of course. Verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue. It's again that verse. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, bears no fruit and helps nobody. Verse 17. Oh, did I say verse 14? Sorry. Okay, it's verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your spirit, you see that? You bless with your spirit. Verse 17. To be sure, you may give thanks well. So you bless and you give thanks when you pray in the Holy Ghost. When we pray in tongues, we build ourselves up. We recharge ourselves. We energize ourselves. That word that says you are built up when you pray in tongues, it's like a car battery that needs to be charged. Gets plugged into a charger. Because we leak anointing. So as you go about your daily job, and as you see, that's why you'll see me do stuff like that. Notice. You may not have noticed that before, but you will now notice it. See, I do things very deliberately. And my wife took a while to understand that. I do things deliberately. I try and walk by the Spirit. So I will meet a new person. And so I'll say, hello, what's your name? Pete. How's it, Pete? How are you doing? Welcome. You see, I'm rubbing some oil off on him. Oh, no, that's great. So tell me, how did your day go?
Good. All right. Thank you.
Did it all right. Okay, well, don't worry about it. I believe from tomorrow your day is going to go a lot better. Okay. So that's what I do. You've seen now. You realize now what I've been doing with you. Some of you. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's why he's doing that all the time. Okay. Because I'm full of the anointing. I need to get rid of it. So I deliberately get rid of it. I'm not like you out in the workplace that are hustling and bustling with people all the time. Because you don't understand necessarily how you're standing behind a counter or something, or wherever you are, or the client that you go and meet, and that your presence there, it's an act of intercession. You're bringing the presence of God in there. And that anointing comes on them. They don't know that. I remember I lived in a flat in Edenvale, and I used to pray in my flat, and the people on either side got saved. And the people, they moved out, and some other people moved in. It wasn't long, they also got saved. And I didn't pray for them. I just knew because I'm there. The presence of God goes through the walls. It goes in there. That's how powerful Christ is in us. And that's why we need to change the mindset that we have. We are not these worms. When you walk into a place, God walks in there. You're a son of God. You walk in there, God walks in. You're the establishing witness in that place. You make a difference. You might not say something, but the anointing that is upon you, the anointing that's on my life, one of the things it does, as I said, it's a catalyst. It's like a key. You put a key in a lock and it unlocks things, but it's on you. It'll unlock things in your own life, but it'll unlock things in other people's lives as well. You just need to believe that it is like that. And so when we pray in tongues, we recharge ourselves like a battery. We plug in. And if you pray enough, you get it, become like the Energizer Bunny. Jude verse 20 says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But you, beloved, build yourselves up. Charge yourself up. Energize yourself. On your most holy faith. Remember I said it's an act of faith. Then he says, make progress, arise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, you're building something. He says, build. What are you building? You're building Christ by faith. And he brings word into your spirit. Who's the word? Christ. So word starts coming from your spirit, and then you start building something in the spirit. But you're also rising up. You're rising higher and higher to that place where you can actually see far. I said that before, when we used to fly, we used to climb up to 45,000 feet. Then the earth is already round. The sky is dark. You can see stars in the middle of the day. You can see all sorts of stuff. You can see very far. You can discern things. And that's why we do it. And we've already read Isaiah 28 verse 11 and 12, which he speaks about God will speak to his people with foreign languages. Now, that word build up in Jude verse 20, to build up, is the word oikodomeo. Domus. Domus is what? What's your domicile? What is oikos? Is your household. Yeah. Oikos domio, oikodomio, a house builder. To construct, to confirm, to make bold, to build an architectural structure. But what are you? You're the house of the Lord. So when you kurabasanda, you're building the house of the Lord. But you need to spend time in the Word. You can't have just pray in tongues. You need to have the Word of God. So, what we're going to do now, and I'll probably lay hands on some of you, but I'm going to lead you in something, and I'm going to trust God that there's an impartation, and that you're moving from point A to B, that God allows you in the Spirit to jump some of this, the travail, that distance in the Spirit which you're trying to cover. Remember, there's that scripture where the angel came to the prophet and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Okay? And what did the angel do? With the coal of what? Fire. But the Holy Spirit is represented by what? Fire. When he came upon the people in the upper room, what did they see? Fire. So when you yield to the Spirit of God, what's it going to do to your speech? What does fire do? Cleans. You want to clean your language? I remember one of the first messages I ever heard Ron Kusmo preach, 25 odd years ago. He said, the Spirit of God is also represented with oil, right? So he said, keep your tongue well oiled. With the oil of the Holy Ghost. Then it won't become squeaky. And it won't become rusty and let you say stuff that's not right. That's how it works. You have the most powerful tool or weapon within you. And we don't realize. But it's important. The Word and the Spirit. And the Spirit will come and He will take the Word and He'll build the church of God within you. He'll build the house of God. And so, we're going to pray now, and in particular, we're going to pray regarding this transition that we keep speaking about. Because I want to enable you, I want to help you. Because we're all sitting with this thing within us. It's like a ton of bricks that sits right here behind your navel. You know? But you see, we've forgotten how to give birth. Remember when the move of the Spirit came with the laughter and all that? Did you see some people never laughed? All they did is, what were they doing? They were birthing. You see, I said just now, here's this massive big God that spans the whole universe with the span of His hand. Now, how is He going to speak through you if He's got this big thing that He's birthing through you? Is He going to come with this little voice? I'm the Lord your God. Let us pray now. He's not going to do that. God's going to, how are you going to express that? I mean, Frank Peretti, he talks about, what's that woman? Shirley MacLaine. She's a New Ager. And so she talks to God, you know, hey God, listen to me. Hey God, you better do this. And hey God, you better do so and so and so. And the Lord showed him one day what she sounds like to God, because she's not in the Spirit. She's a New Ager. And he said, and it's very funny. I think we still have it on tape here. And he said, when she starts, and starts ordering God around, hey God, you must do that and you must sort the world out. It's that. That's all God hears. You see, but you're a son of God. When you go to God in the Spirit, and it's under the unction of the Spirit of God, and you start speaking the Word of God, guess what He hears? His voice. It's the same thing as with Paul and Silas. Remember, Silas is not Paul's wife. And they were in the prison, and they started getting into the Spirit, and there was some rhythm there, and then God went, we've all heard this one, and he went like that, and then the place started shaking. Because he heard what they were saying. It was so powerful what they were saying that the prisoners were listening. If we start walking in the Spirit, we keep our tongues well oiled and cleansed with the fire of the Spirit. Those believers out there, they will hang around you. I mean, who was hanging around Jesus? The religious people? No. You see, we've been taught the wrong way around. No, we're not of this world, you know. No, man. They were hanging around Him. They wanted to be with Him. They should be like that with us. Because there's something. No, man, it's just so nice to be with you. People said that to me many times. I don't know what it is about you. What is this? I just want to be with you. And they didn't know who I was. And I also didn't always say, no, I'm a Christian. Because then... why do I want to be a... But you must be a different Christian. And they said it to me. You're a different Christian. We never met one like you. We don't want them to run off and run away. They were hanging around Jesus because He was full of the Spirit. So I want you to stand, make yourself comfortable, whatever, as long as you don't fall asleep.